Mr. Painting, Reel 5. You had just described how you were withdrawing on the day of the Battle of the Aisne.
Oh yes. Well, the Germans had pushed us back. You see, there was only 7 platoons of us. And then when the HLRs and Worcesters came up, we pulled back. And they told us to pull out of it, you see, and they take over. Well, I pulled them back because I was a senior left. The officers had gone down. And then I got under a little ridge and reported to the officer. He said, all right, you've done your job, stop there. Well, during the fighting, this Merindon one-man range taker, which I put up to use, I couldn't use it. So when the company quartermaster sergeant came up, he asked me where it was. I said, oh, I said, that was no good, it's out of adjustment. I said, I gave it the first wounded man and took his rifle, I said, which was more use. So the quartermaster sergeant said, oh, he said, you'll have to, he said, that instrument's cost £75. He said, you'll have to go down to the dressing station and get it. So I went down to the dressing station, but I couldn't trace it, so I said, I suppose it got written off in the exigencies of the service. I said, but it's rather tickling to think about a thing like that. Regulations. After the show, when the HLRs and Worcesters pushed the Germans back again, my platoon was sent up to collect in the wounded, and the battalion had pushed on to a bit further on, and they eventually pulled back again. But that night, I had to collect in the wounded and bury as many of the dead as I could. Well, I come across my own company sergeant major. He was badly wounded. I said, and we had no stretchers, waterproof sheet. I said, 6 of us carried him in on a waterproof sheet. And he was cold with the loss of blood. So I put my overcoat over him. I said, I can pick up a dead man's head of a pack. So we carried on with the good work. And after we'd finished, I said, I came across a German who was wearing one of our officers' field glasses. I said, they took the money off them, they took his field glasses off him. I said, but it hadn't done this Jerry much good because he'd got the money, but he was killed. So I said, I had the pleasure of taking them,
yes,
taking them off him. I said, well, after we'd done our job, we joined up with the battalion again. And they'd gone back to Vanuul village, and we stayed in Vanuul 2 days. And then we joined the other two companies who had been split up to do flank guard to the guards, and were up at Supir, up in the woods at Supir. We joined them there, and we stayed there at Supir for some time. Supir was quite a good place. The woods were quite nice. The trenches were all right. The trenches were only held by a skeleton during the daytime.
Yes.
And we had a time in the woods, you see, we were shelled and that kind of thing, but I mean that part of the game. But we weren't absolutely in the line, only as your turn came, you see. But one little nasty incident happened. We'd stood to at night in the trenches, just come out, and was taking over a draft of reinforcements we had. And Jerry started shelling. And quite a number of that draft that we had were killed before they'd seen the German trench. I mean, you know, you open up shelling and there it was, you see. And also while we was up in the trench there, I was holding the line, and one day the shell come over, landed on the company headquarters, where there was a lieutenant in charge of the company. And the quartermaster sergeant, this quartermaster sergeant, asked me about the Merindon, and the officer's servant in a little cubbyhole there where the shell landed. It killed the officer's servant. It wounded the officer. Wounded him in the pride. Oh, he got that on. Anyway, and the colour sergeant was blown up in the air, took him up in the tree, and he said, when he came down, he was all right. He said, his whole life went through his mind like a drowning man, they say. He could see his wife and his children. He had 3 children. His whole life went through his mind. Well, I went along and I tied up the wounded, tied up the officer, curled the quartermaster sergeant a little bit. Couldn't do anything for a man who was a servant who was smashed up. And the officer was badly wounded round the privates in one way. So after I'd tied him up, he said, is John Thomas all right? I said, oh, yes, sir. I said, that's all right. I mean, he wouldn't have done to have discouraged him straight away and told him he was pretty badly damaged. And he said, that's all right, as long as he can do his duty later on, I don't mind. But unfortunately, the officer died. I won't mention his name. But he died anyway. So couldn't do anything about it. We stayed up there for about a fortnight. Not quite a fortnight, we was up there.
And then you moved to Ypres, did you?
No, we didn't move to Ypres. The 21st and the 24th we stopped at Place of Willie out of the line for a bit of a rest, you see. And then we went up in the trenches again, up near where I was in action the first time, up in front of the Newell. And we took over the trenches up there. And on the...
Were these trenches dirty and lousy and so on as they became in later years?
Well, they were roughly done. No, it wasn't like a permanent fixture. You dug your trenches in there. First of all, how you dug your trenches, you see, we had an entrenching tool, which was scraped out, you know, when you was lying there, and put a bit of head cover up, you see, so your body could go in, you see. And gradually that was connected up and made... bit of a trench, you see, but it was nothing elaborate like it was afterwards. But anyway, it was a trench, it was head cover, you see, and you could get down underneath it, but nothing elaborate. We had another reinforcement there, and then we went to Vanuel, near where we were on the first day on the Aisne. And we took over the trenches there. And on the 28th, I took over these trenches. And to give the fellas a rest, half the platoon, I did duty with half the platoon, and the other half were in a sitting down, you see, resting for 4 hours, did 4 hours on. Well, during my period of 4 hours on the 28th, Jerry been shelling us, but he'd just been missing us. I pulled out, and the Land Sergeant relieved me in the trenches. We'd hardly sat down in a little bit of a well behind the trenches when a German shell burst. In amongst us, there was the noise of the explosion, the heat, the smell, the cries of the wounded. Two were killed, 12 were wounded, and 4 of us were left out of the 16. And I'll show you my paybook.
And the piece of splinter from the shell ripped through your paybook that you're carrying in your pocket.
In my breast pocket. Yes. It went through that. There's my... Well, she was afterwards my wife. That's not recording, is it?
And you had a small bit in the knee.
Yeah. Well, see, this shell came over and it killed 2, wounded 12, and it cut the flesh along my ribs, went through my paybook, emergency ration tin, shirt braces, cut the flesh of ribs, and a bit went in my knee. Well, I felt myself, I'm all right. Tied the wounded, tied up this fellow, the 4 of us who were left. I dealt with a man with a tourniquet. One of my lads had got his elbow smashed and a wound below his heart you could put 3 fingers in. Couldn't do much for him except tie his arm to a rifle and then cut his coat off and put a bandage round his elbow and cut his coat off and put one round his waist, leave him there, you see. Anyway, having tied it up to the wounded, I thought I'd have a smoke. So I went to get my tobacco out. It wouldn't come out. So one of the lads who had left, he says, Sergeant, he says, you got a hole in your coat. So I had to cut my coat off. Felt a little bit, you know, I felt a little bit queer when he said that. So I felt myself, oh, I'm all right. I cut my coat off and had a smoke. A bit later on, my knee was hurting me. I couldn't make out why my knee was hurting me, but I thought, well, I might have bumped it in the commotion, you know. So I took my trousers down and had a look, and there was a just a little rough bit of the shell was sticking in my knee there, just a tiny bit. And I got it out with a jackknife. I didn't go sick or anything. I just, I shook hands with myself saying I'd got away with it, you see, and took no notice of this graze along my ribs or in my knee, just carried on with the lads. Well, we stayed there in these trenches and we stayed there several days. In that particular place until the 13th of October, when the French relieved us, and then we marched from the Ain to a station called Fismes, F-I-S-M-E-S, Fismes or some whatever you call it, anyway, that railway station, and we trained there, and we eventually found ourselves at Saint-Omer in Belgium. We got out to Saint-Omer. And we marched from there past Mount Carmel to Ypres. And we spent the night at Ypres in the asylum. And the orders were that we weren't to talk to the inmates, which was rather amusing, seeing as we couldn't speak Belgium and we didn't want to talk to any mad people. Anyway, that was the orders. We pulled out of that. And on the 21st of August, we went to a little place called Wilje, W-I-L-J-E, as reserved to the division. Mm-hmm. Well, then from there, we made order to make an attack on Passchendaele, which we spent in support, but we didn't actually come into any serious action. We had a good deal of shelling and rifle fire, but we got away with it. But I'll tell you what did happen. And there was a blessed one of these heavy guns, a very heavy gun, a siege battery gun, just behind us, and fired these 100-pound shells just behind us. Terrible thing to rush in the air and that. But anyway, Jerry's never hurt us. And then we went back to St. Jean at night. The next day, we were ordered to go to Zillebeke and clean Zillebeke, which was the other side of Ypres.
Yes.
We had to march there as a reserve unit to bolster up the line in case of we wanted. The cavalry were in action there, but we didn't have to come into action, but we were there in case of accidents. We got back to our old billet at 3 o'clock the next morning. Mm-hmm. Then we, that was the 23rd, and on that morning we were ordered to move up towards Pilkem, support the 1st Division. Well, we were a mobile unit, you see, to go here, there and everywhere where they wanted. We went up there and we got there, but we didn't have to do much. They managed to carry on without us, but we were switched about here and there. And on the 24th, on that day, 24th of December, it was just after midnight, I got into a nice comfortable billet and was lying in a bed, the first time I'd seen a bed in a mill, hanging on this bed in my boots and putties and all the lot, you know. Suddenly, just after 12 o'clock, midnight or early morning, whichever you like to say, ordered to get out and go and support the Queen's Regiment up at Pilkem. We had to get out there and go and support the Queen's. Well, we managed to beat off the attack there that night and got back into the billet again where we were. And on the 6th Brigade, we were ordered to rejoin the 6th Brigade, and we went to Potties and Friesenberg. Then we went into military, the brigade headquarters, 8 a.m. And the battalion and the South Staff had been in support of the Berkshires and the Kings. They'd been killed on an attack on the south of Zonnebeek. And perhaps you won't believe it, on that march, we were a couple of miles behind the line, but one of the men in our company was killed by a spent bullet. Mm. It caught him in the throat. Mm. One of the men in our company was caught in the throat as we were miles beyond the line, like marching one place to the other. On the 25th, the battalion and the staff and that, we were in an action in Polygon Wood there. We had an action in Polygon Wood, beating off the Jerrys there, and we had quite a number killed and wounded, and we were ordered to put a gap between the King's Regiment and the Irish Guards. Yes. But we did that, and we had quite a number of casualties. In that particular action, one of our sergeants, Sergeant Stott, he had 14 bullets through his clothes and wasn't touched. Here. He never touched him. His clothes was ripped to pieces with bullets and he wasn't touched. We got out of that lot. And then on the 27th, we pulled out of that. We went back to near Zonnebeek, where we were before. And then on the morning of the 27th, we were ordered to advance on the left of the Staffords to keep in touch with the French. And we had to make an attack from Zonnebeek Ridge towards Passchendaele. Well, we got over the ridge. I had my platoon in four sections, you know, artillery formation, a little section here, section there, so that if a shell burst in us, it would only take a few.